deal, don't you know it gets bogged down flat as it is?
Yeah.
What do you know, young fella?
Well, Willie.
John Brown, if them ain't some knobby knees.
I tell you, I don't get them knobby knees out much.
Let's go around here and look at this bread.
Well, let me sit down this minute.
He just
came in
with his friend, really.
Oh,
he did? Yeah,
I thought I seen you.
Sit down here, please.
I drove down there. I thought I seen you down there.
Yeah.
I was down there.
There's a chair right over there.
I can't sit down. I just can't do it. I ain't got time. I got to go.
Well, you just got to let us get a breath.
Oh, you've been drinking too much of that cupper over there, decupper.
Yeah.
Decupper.
Yeah.
You know what that is? Yeah, delicious is life for the luck since 1695.
I got pretty well sprayed out.
What are you spraying for?
Them old coffee weeds, Willie. If I mow them, they'll be with me the rest of the year. They'll keep coming back.
You mow them? You spray them?
Yes, I spray them. And that's the end of them.
Well,
couple of hours, they nod. And then in the next day or two, they start turning yellow.
What do you call, what kind of spray you use?
Just regular old 2,4-D. See, it ain't poison. I don't use anything poison.
And that kills the weeds?
Oh, yeah.
It won't kill no tree?
Yes.
You reckon it would?
Yes, sir.
I got some. How much you had to pay for this?
Put it in the barn. It costs, it don't cost anything much at all. It costs $3 a gallon.
That's better than this stuff I've been buying, $8 and something gallon.
And
you make about 50 gallons of spray.
You use about a cup full of this and a drum of water.
Cup full to a drum of water?
Mm-hmm.
That's all right.
And a drum of water, the way I spray the stuff, will last me... Well, I got these two drums out there. And they'll last me, I can stay out a couple hours. You see, I don't put them on and just leave them on. I just pull up in the middle of a whole bunch of stuff and then spray all around. Then I move up a little bit and spray again, you see. And think of something else.
Save Oklahoma. Why do you want to save Oklahoma?
Save the Oklahoma.
You ain't said it right either.
Oklahoma.
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 Yeah. I've seen that, you know, and every time I see it on a car going by, I say, save Oklahoma. But I know it's Oklahoma, but I say it every time. reckon there's going to be enough grass down there to pay.
To what?
Reckon there's going to be enough grass down there to pay off?
There'll be a lot of grass.
It's done seeded out, though, bad.
Well, you want to get it while it's in the early seeding.
It's done seeded out. It looks to me like as a drive in, you could tell it and see it.
Well, you want to seed them.
Why?
Well, that's got the protein in it, them seed.
Ain't enough of them.
There will be, if you give them time. Willie, let me tell you, I don't know what you want to do. I want to get you to look at that shed down there for me this morning. and tell me kind of how to extend it.
Extend it?
Yeah, that and out there.
You got enough there already.
Well, let me tell you.
And it's too flat.
Yeah, I know it is.
There ought to have been with another foot pitch in it.
Yes.
Oh. I was just talking with I had kind of wind. I was telling your wife about Frank. He don't usually work on Thursday and Friday.
Yeah.
I went down there about 11 o'clock. I told Mom to tell him to come up to the house, and he come in. He run over here and look at this grass, see what he thought about it. She said, well, you might as well hang around here and eat dinner with us. I said, well, I don't feel too good. I'll do that. I'll just lay around here until 12 o'clock, which is about an hour away. So I kept waiting. He didn't show up. So we, I said, I got to go. She finally said, well, he said something about he might leave then, go by Walker Hoodie over to Bronson to get his car inspected and then come home. I said, oh, good Lord, he won't be home at 5 o'clock this afternoon now. But he had to work a while at Albert's this morning, see, until noon he was going to work. So I sat down at almost 2 o'clock. Yeah, almost 2 o'clock. I said, this won't do. I got to go. If I'm going over there, and I had to come to Wynn's. I don't have, as much time as I need.
Yes, I realize that.
Yeah.
It seems like you got more time you got.
Yeah, it does.
See?
Yeah.
Come here. I want, before Willie gets off on something, I want he got several things on his mind. I tried to tell you and I couldn't. The last time I was over there, we got to talking about that, you know. He couldn't get over here for a week or two on account of that shed. Albert, that's our shed. And he told me about that. And I'm telling
that's
you.
That's the biggest mistake I ever made.
Why, Willie?
Yeah.
By the time you tear an old barn down, you ain't got anything with a bunch of termites.
Yeah.
It was better than, I mean, it looked good standing up there, but when we got right into the actual tearing it down, it wasn't nothing but.
Yeah.
I had a big job cleaning up and hauling out. I had to clean up every spot, you know that. Go ahead, we'll finish your story.
That's what I want to hear.
Well, anyway, he seen I got root and he gave me a check for $25.
Yeah.
Of course, I told him I didn't want it. He said, I made the trade. I said, actually, you didn't make it. I said, I made it myself. I told you I'd tear it down for it. But I said, I didn't anticipate the shed's being left up there, see.
How was that, Willie?
Well, he had like this is a barn here, like this. He got a shed that started off corner here, but not at center of barn. It goes out this way and comes down and comes back and squares off with the front.
Yeah.
The full shed across here and a half shed across the back. He wanted all that left on that, see, after it was all over with. I lost all that. That was the best part of the deal.
Wanted left on.
Oh, yes. He decided he'd leave it on. And he tried, made me confirm the fact that I was getting a just deal there, you know, and what I would get by leaving the sheds there. Well, I had to then enclose those sheds off to keep the end, see, just like you cut this off here, coming around some of the roofing and wall this up. That L part, you know. And it was hard to tear down because the barn was built and then the sheds was added to it, which caused.
I don't see how you got it down in
well,
the first place.
I taken the cotton picking axe and just busted it out. I just walked into it and started chopping. And I just, anything that was any good at all, I ruined it as far as that wall. The inside wall that was protected from the weather was the best wall, but since I had to tear that out and preserve this, which this should have been torn down first, then I could take it off piece by piece. I couldn't do it. I had to tear it down the best way I could without tearing this down. So I had to tear it down backwards the way it was put up. See, which made it bad. All the nails was cramped on the wrong side. You couldn't get to them. And you couldn't tear it off. They had a plate like that nailed against the boards on that side. And then a plate on the inside, which was ready to hold support the barn roof, see, which with the boards running in between. So I had to tear up something.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't it?
And so in the wind-up, why? He gave me a $25 check, said that was for the extra work that I had to do since.
That's for losing your temper.
Yeah, I guess so. That thing made me mad. I got so hot. And the more I tore into it, the worse it got. But anyway, I had another deal here last Monday. Back week. Boy, at church told me, he says, didn't you tell me you want some of that old trailer siding? You know what I'm talking about? House trailer siding. They got a big trailer factory, you know, down here in Ocala. Well, they got several of them, but the one big one down there.
Yeah.
That Skyliner, or whatever they call it. Well, they get this, these sides are knocked down. You know what I mean? It comes in bundles. And it comes in 12-foot sheets.
Yeah.
And they rivet it together when they build a trailer. You know, it comes from the Tennessee Valley Company, the Tennessee Tin and Valley Company, whatever they call it, such places like that, where they manufacture tin. They make it and ship it in carload bundles, you know.
Yes.
Carload lots. Well, a lot of times it gets damaged on the end. Some of it's already pre-finished, even so. And so if it gets a little damaged, you know, they have a sheet of paper in between each sheet of that stuff. Well, they can't use it, see, so they just put it outside cool. Mm-hmm. Well, some of it's real good. And in the past, I didn't know it, but in the past it'd been the way you could get some good stuff, one number one stuff down there, for $1 a sheet. This has 12 by 36 inch sheets. You've seen, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Well,
how heavy is it?
It's not as heavy as this.
No,
it's the next
no.
gauge lighter. Yeah, it's yeah. one gauge lighter than this. This is 29. That's about 30 gauge.
Yeah.
But it's good for siding. What yeah. it was intended for.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, Carl told me he said,
you can side your house with it, right?
Oh, sure. Because you see, it's got that interlocking deal yeah. on this. Now, some of the other.
I got some around there. You saw
oh,
that?
Oh yes, that's right. Yeah. You have seen some. But it, now it's not the new type. The new type's got that lock thing there. You can put it up, you know, you put your first sheet up, and then you lock the other end to it, you know?
It's got a lock on it.
So it has. Well, some of the first that this boy got didn't have it, just flat pieces of tin. But anyway, he says, I know, you've been wanting some of that tin. And he says, what about, when can you go down? I says, I'm on vacation this week. And he says, any day will suit me, but I'd like to know what day you can come. I said, well, I can't come to Monday. It'll be Tuesday. That'd been this past Tuesday week, right? And so, bye, Joe. I told him, I said, now it'll be 9:30 or so before I can get to your house. He lives south of me, between me and Fairfield. So I got down there, and he's building a shed. He's one of these type fellas, you know, he'll wheedle that bed to work and squeeze everything out of you he can get.
Oh.
And he was building this shed on the side of his old home place down there. He fell heir to the home place, and he built a little Jim Walter house off out there, and he's using the old house for a barn, the old family home. So he built a lean-to shed to the old house, about 40 foot, I guess. And got down there, and he told me the man wasn't in, and he wouldn't be in until noon. And to where, you know, we could get the stuff. I didn't think nothing about it. But I'd been suckered on deals like this before by him. And so I says, he says, what about getting my hand in? So I helped him. They'd start off nailing rafters on. Hadn't even lined up the outside plate that was laying it out like that, you know. Mm-hmm. On this end and down on the other end, it was laying in. It just almost S. I said, Carl, how come it is you don't plumb this thing up, put you some braces on it, the way it'll stay in line, and cut your rafters and nail them up there and go about your business and quit this fiddling around? He said, well, I says, had another fella helping him, and said, he's supposed to have been a carpenter. He said, I thought he'd line that up. Well, I put my foot in my mouth right off, you know. But it makes me mad if somebody had four rafters put up there and was cutting them to fit. This from here to this point back here, by laying the rafter up there, and this man's supposed to have been a carpenter, he was up there with a pencil, and he'd mark it where it cut out the notch, you know, the bird's mouth to sit on the plate, and that darn thing laying in like that. Well, the first one was a foot longer than the fourth one he'd put on. Mm-hmm. I said, don't you notice that bird's mouth is getting way further and further up to the center of the rafter? So I hadn't paid it any mind. So I fell in there and I helped him get the thing, that plate line lined up, lined all the posts up, you know, and plumbed them and everything. And fooled around and had to put up all them rafters, and it come 12 o'clock. Why, we went and ate lunch. He said, well, I want to show you my cows. I said, Carl, I said, I ain't got time to be fooling around, son. I said, I've got to go. He said, well, he said, man, don't come in till 1 o'clock. I says, you said he didn't come in till noon, and I've been worried about getting old Callum before he closes up. You talk like he's going to be in just that noon, lunch period, and then he's going to be gone again. He said, well, it might be. What says, I'm going to go. He said, I'll call him. So he goes in there and calls on the phone. And he talk, and then he hangs up, comes out there, and says he won't be in till 1 o'clock. And so we ride down the pasture, you know, and look at the cows, which I didn't care about his old cows, because he ain't got none of old dairy calves. And he, every now and then, you know, he'll keep one that looks pretty good for a mother cow. And he'll work four calves to the cow, you know, most of the time. But sometimes the cow won't take. There's calves that cows won't take, and there's calves that calves won't take. But when he can, he'll put four to the cow and raise them dairy calves and sells them.
Sell them to Bill.
So, I never did like that type of thing. I mean, you know, it's all right. If you like that, that's all right. That's your business. But I never did like them little old strong-tailed dairy calves. It looked like they just barely surviving, you know. They're just hanging on with one little teeny thread, and if the wind blew a little hard, he'd fall over and die. And he's not on his real mother, and he's unhappy, he's miserable, and he's whining. So I don't care about looking at such as that. But then we go down there, and we look at that, and we come back up. He said, well, while we're down here, he says, we just load up a load of this lumber. I said, damn, Carl. I said, what lumber are you talking about? And it hot right about 12:30, quarter to one.
Hot?
Ooh, it was hot. If you can think back on Tuesday last week, Tuesday past
any
week,
old day.
It was hot. Well, we got out in the truck, pulled up beside this old pile of lumber. Pile of lumber. What up, man? I said, we better go. So, well, I said, I'm going to pile this here lumber up on, let's throw this up on the roof. He told his boy, I said, Leonard, you get up there. And I said, you be nailing it down until we get back. Yeah. Got all the lumber, throw it up on the raft, ready to sheet it.
Oh, well.
And so then he told me, he said, you're going to have to drive your truck. He'd already told me, you know, that he'd take his truck, because he's got a long wheelbase truck, that tailgate down, it measures, I believe, about 9 feet, which I can haul at 12 foot without too much trouble, with a couple of wide boards underneath it, you know.
Yeah.
And so we threw the board in his truck. He said, you have to drive your truck, because I got so much in the cab of mine. And his boy named Leonard said, Leonard wants to go. He's just a school boy, you know. And he said, this fellow was helping me there. He says, he wants to go down there too and look around. And I said, I don't want to unload my truck, because all four of us can't ride the cab. So what about you driving your truck? I said, yeah, anything, get it on down the road. So, and you can knock him down with a baseball bat, and he'll never take a hint. So we pile in, you know. He's just as tight as a paint on that board down now, just neither one. And so, it's going to rain.
Yeah.
By Joe, we pour out down there and get down there. And he tells him to get down. He says, I want you to back up. And he's got two of these old big tractor wheels he's bought. And he wants me to haul them for him because he can't get them on his truck with the cattle body on, see. He's too darn lazy to take cattle. The tailgate's all he got to take out, see. And he could roll the wheels in his truck and carry them better than I could because I didn't have no sideboards. Put them things on there and one laid out one way and one the other. And he'd go down the road and he'd take it up two-thirds of the paved road. Them old big wheels hanging over the side. Much as my little light spring truck to haul when it was new, much less go out. So, but anyway, the tin is no good. It's been in a junk pile out there, and it's been run over with 40-ton trucks, and it's all bent up, and it's rusty. And you know, you can't wet this tin in the bundle. And it gets wet in the bundle, it corrodes, and then it rusts holes in it overnight. In a year's time, it'll rot out.
That's what they say, Willie. What makes it do that?
Moisture, uranium, if it's rain, or dew has what is ammonia in it?
Oh,
ammonia, I believe, or something in the rain.
Oh.
And it causes that to corrode. It cuts all of your galvanized.
Yeah.
Because, now it won't do it if it's just a single sheet. But if it runs in between you see, it creates a heat in there. That rainwater creates a heat.
Oh, yeah.
And that heat makes that chrome galvanized come loose. Washes off.
Yeah.
It'll come off. Be plumb slick. You can turn it over and rub it out. Slick like soap on it. It's kind of an acid like. It forms acid between that galvanized and that ammonia that's in that rainwater creates something like acid cutting on it. Or vinegar. Well, I looked at it. I said, Carl, I don't want that mess. I said, you know me better than that. I said, I got enough of that junk up home. Why should I come down here to haul such as that home? I said, I don't need it. Had holes knocked in it. And then when I turned to, and if he'd have told me who had old Herb Romine, and I know Herb Romine, he wouldn't even tell me where the junkyard was or where he's going to get it. If he told me it was in a junkyard, it wouldn't fool with it, because anything you get from a junkyard, junk. Don't you see? It's junk. They put it there because it's junk. And when you go to a junkyard to buy anything, you're buying junk. But he wouldn't tell me where it was at. I asked him Saturday night. I said, where's that car? I'm going to run down and see it and get it. So Noah says, you have to go in my truck because that 12-foot stuff will bend in the back of yours. So what he wanted to see was in wheels hole without taking his tailgate out. He knew I wasn't going to buy none of that tin. But when I turned to Herb, I said, "Herb, how much you want for that 10? He said, "$1 a sheet." I said, "Oh, devil," I said. I said, "Carl, you told me he wants 75 cents. Carl looked at old Herb, and Herb looked at Carl, and Carl looked back at me, and Herb looked at the man that was with us, and then finally Leonard, Carl's boy, spoke up and said, "Daddy, you must have misunderstood that man." I said, "Let's go."
That's the way I get hooked. Somebody's been taking my fish.
It's sort of the end of the season, really.
I got you some.
Well, how come y'all been taking my fish?
Well, you didn't get here in time.
We got some in the house. You have to eat them out of the can. There's one other story. I forget what it was. Willie?
You're going to have to shoot these birds.
Yeah. The bees, too.
I got some for you.
What do you say?
I got some in the house for you.
Oh, no, I want some fresh off.
Well, these are fresh.
Who's getting the tree all up like this?
I did.
Well, you broke. You burned that tree.
Yeah.
Told you ought to be over here helping.
No, see, Daddy just had to break the tree up like this.
Willie, I've forgotten what that other thing was you were telling me.
What's that?
Some experience you had with Mr. Albert. Now, one of them was about that taking that shed down. But then there was another one.
Cut it early this morning and start raking it up, baling it tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah.
Now your equipment, you can bale, how many bales can you bale in an hour with your machine? I don't know, I've seen them boys. I've been fooling around picking up hay behind them balers, but I don't know, it's, you know. But
it goes fast.
No, it goes pretty fast. You can bale.
Oh, yeah.
You can start right after dinner.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, as soon as the dew dries.
Yeah.
Gosh, yeah.
And you could get in several hundred bales, couldn't you?
Oh, yeah.
What I'm fixing to say is, if it comes to it and it gets bad, if the weather gets, and we can't haul home, maybe you have room enough here. We can put it here until, say, tomorrow would be a better day to move out, and we can load it up and then haul it to Frankie's and my house.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We could stack it somewhere here if the weather looked like it was going to run it. I hate wet in the bed.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I bought some here 3 or 4 years ago, and I know after I bought it, it got wet and bad. And you know what happens? It gets, you can just take it, spray it in chunks like that. It gets brittle.
Yeah.
There's no strength at all. I lost in cows, too. And I didn't know what was wrong with that hay. See, I don't know much about hay.
Yeah.
And I didn't know until a man told me, he said, "You just got hold of some hay that got wet in the bale." I said, "Would it do that if it got wet on the ground?" He said, "No, if it gets wet on the ground and a man's got any sense at all, he's going to let it dry enough that it'd be all right to bale it."
Yeah.
But he said, he got it wet in the bale.
Yeah.
That's what happened. That water run into the bale. Now, G.P. Lightner will tell you, it takes a hard rain for water to run a bale. Well, it might. If it's bale compact and solid, it might take a good bit of water to run into that bale, you know, to the center.
Mm-hmm.
But his old loose bales, they'll run through it. It won't just run to the center, it'll run through it. I got to go. I'll see y'all.
I'm
going to tell Frankie, I want him to come over here today and look at that thing. Now, he's fooled with this thing. He'll make you think he ain't got no sense.
Yeah.
But that's because he don't want to come over here and he don't know you very well. He don't want to come over here and take over the show and run it when it's your equipment and all. He's afraid you might get mad or upset or something. I told him, I said, "No, I'm not. Is about as good a natured man as ever been around my life. I said, he ain't going to get mad and cuss and raise sand with you. I said, that's one thing. Sure, I said, because I've said things and done things. I know that he should have said something probably to me, but he didn't. And I said, I know he won't to you. I said, you go on over there and see, look at
him. When he come over here, he's so much on his good behavior. It's kind of hard to talk to him.
You tell him that nobody's on his good behavior over here.
You know, it's just here in the last 8-10 years that he'd talk to anybody.
I come.
That was the fastest man you ever seen in your life, right? So he was 35 years old.
Really?
Hi.
You could speak to him, he'd duck his head like this. Great big old grown man, you know, he'd duck his head down. He'd look at you like that, you know. And he'd walk by and he'd cut his eyes at you. You'd say, boo, he'd jump. I ain't kidding, he would. Every time he'd say something to him, he'd duck his head.
Yeah.
Oh, he'd talk, but he never would look at you. He just in the last year or two, like I say, 10 years, got to where you halfway talk to him. Well, I could, but I mean, he just don't mingle with the public at all.
You know. Well, he was nice when he come over here, but...
Oh, yes, but
He seemed like he wanted to...
He wants you to tell him what to do.
Do a day's work, and didn't want to lose any time, and set a record. Why, you know, that sort of scares me.
He's out of way, though. Who bent that car up there? Did you bend that one? She bent this, and you bent that. That's good enough. That's even Steve. Now let's quit.
Well, let me tell you.
But I tell you, when it comes to hay, he gets excited and upset and wants it done today.
Yeah.
And he got that from, I got to go, I see that.
Well, let me tell you. If we could get this off of here, it would come back a good hay.
That's good. And then we'd get a better grade of hay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because this ain't any count.
Well, we'll take it, though, for the time being.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the thing about it is, I realize that, guy, and I do realize the fact that we need to put some ammonia to it as soon as we cut it.
Yeah, it would hurt to put a little ammonia.
But it'll come back.
I've got a thing that'll put ammonia.
Well, I just fixing to say, now this strip spreader thing, I don't believe it'll put out ammonia.
It'll put out ammonia.
This will, but you're going to put about 300 pounds today, because this thing that I got from that boy,
yeah.
I'm afraid it'll put out too much.
Oh, it'll put out. It's a cedar and fertilizer spreader, too.
What, that thing I borrowed?
Yeah.
I didn't think so.
Didn't it?
I didn't think so, because actually, you know, now, ammonia, you know, it's those little old pellets, balls,
yeah.
and the vibration makes it run. It'll run into cranks.
It'll run.
Oh, yes, it'll run into... I done tried it with my old Alice Chalmers Trevor, and you got to close that thing off just as tight as you can and don't run the motor while you stop.
Yeah.
If you run the motor while you stop, you got to get out and push the tractor and get it running down and then hop up and stank it up, you know. So if the motor's jarring, it'll run out of power that big.
Yeah.
I ain't kidding. You know how to do it.
Yeah.
If you got to keep moving. I thought I could put out sand with that distributor of ammonia.
Yeah.
But I could better than I can that ammonia. Because that ammonia's pellet. That little round ball, just, they won't pack, you know, like.
Well, do me a favor. What was that you told me that experience you had from Mr. Zetron? You know what it was. You just won't tell me.
I've had several. Yeah.
I know you have, but you told me 2 or 3 down the road. One of them was a shed. Now, it seemed like the other one was some animal, but I kind of lost touch with it. What in the world was it?
You mean he wanted me to, he had this bull that he wanted to swap in for some work?
Yes!
And to find out, of course, the bull, I could have got papers on it.
Kind of how did that go?
But the thing about it was, the bull was foolish, and he didn't, he told me that he said the bull wasn't exactly up to par. But that he would...
That's the one.
Yeah.
That's the one.
And he never did, and I never did ask him exactly what he meant by that up to par.
Yeah.
That's the one.
You come on now, give it to me now. Well, that is a good...
The pedigree, you know. Pedigree side of the bull. You know, not coming up to par.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I said to Frankie, Albert's got a bull up there he wants to swap. And he said the bull normally would sell for $500. But I says, I don't need a bull... that caliber, and I said, but he told me he'd let me have the book if I do some work for him, and $100, cash money, $100, and I think about $250 worth of labor that he wanted to do.
Yeah, now how'd that labor go?
Well, he had one thing he wanted done, then take that old scrap left over and do something else, you know, which entails a lot of time.
Yes. What was it? Jalousy windows, what was it?
Yeah, those old jalousy windows. Wanted me to take them out of one hole and put them in another.
Oh.
Which, you know, he didn't like them.
Yeah.
But if he didn't like them in that place, why would he like them over here? See, that's what I couldn't understand it. But anyway, in the wind-up, I said, well, don't want to wait for me to find out about it. That's Frankie, because he handles the bulls up there all the time, the cows. And so I said, Frankie, I said, what about this bull? I said, I want to sell me a bull. He said, don't buy it. He said, at times, says he's foolish, he'll chase you. And he said, I believe he'd hurt you if he got you up the corn. I said, well, I know darn well I don't want a bull if you can't, you know, it's that time. And I said, well, I would say he didn't come up to par. He said, yeah, he told a man that, and the man come to look at it. He said, the bull will tear the fence down, too, if he takes notice. He'll just run into it and tear it down.
Yeah.
I said, well, I know I don't know.
He just walked through the fence.
Just walked right through. And Frank said he would chase you at times.
Yeah.
I said, well, I don't want no
bull. Well, now, what, Mr. Zester, when you went over there and talked to him, what did he say?
When I went back over there, I told him, I said, well, I asked Frankie about your bull, and I said, Frankie told me that the bull was vicious, and that the bull was not good-natured.
Yeah.
And he said, well, it's quite good-natured. I like to have a bull, but say a good bull, price is a good bull. And I said, well, I didn't think I was going to tell you. I'm glad you did, because I got him sold for more money.
You know,
I hate
you. I do too. Willie, you tell Sybil whenever you start cutting hay for her to take a day off too, and we'll just we have to keep you all watered and fed.
Well, I gotta go. It's raining. I know I gotta go.
Okay.
So, I'll see.
All right.
I'll call Frankie and come over here.
And we'll start mowing. Let me tell you, I got the baler out and got it running.
This is Channel 1 right, Willie. I came over to see that old tough hay, the way it turned out, the day before I expected him on the 23rd of July, 1970. And he had to go on home to get ready to go to work at 5 o'clock, be there at 5 o'clock. So there's Channel 1 Right around 400, Channel 1 Right around 400, and the visit on Thursday, Willie, Thursday, 23rd of July, 1970. Around 400, Channel 1 right. Now I'll set it up at 400. I'll set it up at 400 for whoever comes. Set it up for 400 for whoever comes, and then it will go over on Channel 1 over. Channel 1 over. Nothing on Channel 1 over. Nothing on Channel 1 over. There's nothing on Channel 1 over. And then it can turn over to Channel 2 right.
Have a good visit?
Yeah.
see. Willie likes where he is.
Yes.
And he almost resents anything that would take him away.
Yeah.
And he's stubborn. Kathy, his daughter, was there, and Tommy and Steffi. And that's now.
I told you I gave the thing. You. I can hear you if you talk. I don't mean a lot of
words. Well, I'm just, yeah. What I want to do is just sort of give you my first impression.
That's all right. I'm not telling you about that just so I can hear you, is all I said. You don't have to holler.
He had been, well, I drove up, and they were all in the back, except Sybil, and she came out. Tommy came around the house, and he's very delightful. Tommy Dodd.
Yeah.
And they were just having a good time. They'd fished all afternoon.
In that pond?
In that little pond. They'd caught 100 fish. Steffi had caught 4 or 5 herself. She's 4 years old. And that's all Willie wanted to do. And there was nothing hurried about it.
Yeah.
And he likes cut grass. He doesn't like this grass all over the yard out here. He likes it cut. I mean, not your grass. He likes his grass. He likes it, there's a good bit of the plutocrat in Willie. Just plain old plutocrat.
Yeah.
He likes things the way he likes them. And there was a little old fish, about that big.
Yeah.
And Steffi loves them. And so Willie was out there cleaning those fish. There were 6 cats. And you've never seen anything in your life like Willie cleaning those fish with those 6 cats. And Steffi helping, all easy, nobody jumping. And Willie throwing a head here and a head there and a head there for the cats. And then he'd clean the fish and put it over in this pan that Steffi brought. The cats would come over and lick on the fish he'd cleaned, and nobody cared. They were going to eat them tonight. And all those bones out in the yard, and Steffi running around, but barefooted. And I sat on the back steps with Sybil and Kathy. Kathy's nice. Looks like a little girl. And, Willie was just a little, for me, standoffish. Just a little. As if, where did you come from? And that's not usually the way Willie acts. But he pretty soon was himself. And Sybil says the heat gets him. She said, no, he doesn't feel very good because he can't stand heat. He'd been out on that pond all afternoon. But he was, Kathy wanted to mow the yard and he wouldn't let her because the blades needed sharpening. And he said he told Guy he was going to do that this very day. And it's obvious that that's all he wanted to do was what he was doing. And he wasn't about to do anything else. That was his time. And I just sat there and they have pears. She said there's a tree over behind Frankie's, their house, that has pears on it. There's another tree that doesn't have much, but there's one back there that does have pears on it. And Kathy had brought some pears from town to them. And she said her neighbor had pears and didn't like them and didn't like to have them on the ground, so she says, take them and get them out of my way. So I said, well, why don't I just put these pears back in the back end? Oh, no, said Sybil. I want every one of them. I'll divide with Mama, with Frankie. But I'm going to put these up. No, she said. I appreciate them. I wanted to go over and get them, too, she said. And I said, well, Ruth had thought that, you know, we were going to get them, so she had them. And I just happened to be in McIntosh, so I just ran on out here and brought them to you. I don't even know whether the guy knows where I am or not. And Willie said, well, you'd better not run around like that. I said, well, this is my business where I take these pears. And he started teasing me a little bit. And then he said, well, go call Guy and tell him come on over here and let's eat these fish. I said, oh, Lord, no, I'm not going to call him. I got to go. I used his old tactic, you know. Gonna be caught after dark over here. I got to get up and go. And Kathy said, I didn't mention the hay. I didn't mention a thing. Not one word. I just sitting there watching them clean those fish. And Sybil says, we're gonna get you and Mr. Miles over here, and we're gonna turn a freezer of ice cream. And I said, well, we love that. We like that kind of ice cream. Well, we're going to do it, she said. I said, oh, that'll be fun. And Kathy said she knew somebody who came out here and rode these horses.
Phoebe.
Run Phoebe Bauer. She's all mixed up with one there. Well, anyway, I don't know. She said, yeah, Phoebe. Well, anyway. She said, Steffi just loved animals and just loved horses. I said, well, bring her over. I'll put on Hubert H. Humphrey. She said, would you? I said, yeah. Bring her on over. Willie said, she said, we've always wanted a horse, and Daddy never would let us have him. And Willie did his old song and dance about the horse. Eat you up, and can't feed them and all that business. Takes too much hay, Willie said. I said, oh, well, doesn't take much hay, especially if it's Bahia. And Tommy picked it up. Tommy said, let me tell you what, there's nothing wrong with Bahia hay. He said, I just soon have Bahia hay as, well, name it, something else. I always forget what it is. And it's a lot easier to keep. And it's the first to come in and the last to go out. And you can't get rid of it. He said, I don't want it in my yard. And he said, Willie, if you'd plow this back pasture and put 10 Bahia, you'd have something for these cattle to eat. Willie said he hated the stuff. He hated the hay. And Tommy said, it's just cause you're so stubborn. And so Willie and Tommy had almost a knockdown about the hay. Is all, you know. And Tommy said, now let me tell you, you look down here at Huff. He puts up more hay than he does anything else. And he said, it's just an old wives' tale about the hay not being good hay. And Tommy just talked. He said, just a few of you fellas get all hipped on it. And I didn't say a word. I just sat there and listened to him talk about the hair. Willie said, well, he didn't like it. He said, those horses have been over there in that Bahia, too. I said, yeah, they broke through, but we got them out. And I said, well, if you don't like Bahia, you don't care whether the horses are in it or not. He said, he sort of ducked his head this way, you know. And Tommy picked it up again. He said, that wasn't going to hurt anything. It's just people who got notions. And he rode him good about Bahia and notions. Wilkinson was sitting there working on those fish, and Steffi running around doing the jog and the jig and all the things they teach kids to do, you know. She's tough. She's stubborn as Willie. Sybil says she's just as stubborn as he is. And Willie said then to me, well, when you want to cut that stuff? I said, I don't know. Do you want it cut? He said, yeah. He said, you ought to cut it about Thursday. Let it lay over until Saturday. And then Tommy spoke up and says, now I'll be there to help you load. Kathy said, well, now let's pin him down. Tommy said, I'll be there to help you load on Saturday, but we better look at the weather. I said, well, what about cutting Friday? Tommy said, well, you better give it some time to season. I said, I don't know whether Frank is going to be interested in cutting or not. He doesn't like Bahia. And then Tommy started all over again. I said, the only trouble is that's all we got. Willie said, yeah, I know it. Tommy said, well, let me tell you something. Beggars can't be choosers. He just rubbed it. I didn't have to say a word. I didn't have to say. I felt like saying, well, look, who's got money in that? I didn't say anything. I didn't need to. And I said, well, you know, we could have some fun out of this if people weren't so hard-headed. And Sybil just egged me on. She said, yeah, we got too many stubborn people around here. I said, we could have a picnic instead of people going around here fussing about Bahia. Hey, just pitch in there and do the best we could. We could have some fun. Then if we didn't like it, we could throw the darn stuff away. Tommy said, boy, it'd be all right. Wouldn't throw that hay away. I said, well, you know, Willie might not like it. He could throw his part away. I said, I'll tell you one thing. You look at our cows, they're about as fat as any cows you've seen. And they, you know how they got fat? On Bahia hay. Tommy says, I know it. And Willie's sitting down there with all his gone animals, you know. Clean those fish. Just scraping. He scraped a little harder, you know. Throw a head over here. He must have cleaned 50 of the darn things. And Sybil sitting there saying, I'm not going to cook those things. It's not worth cooking. And it's the baby who likes them. And then they have to get the meat off for her. So it means all night business getting the meat. It's all good natured, you see. Just Willie's doing exactly what he wants to do. I said, it's getting late, I guess I better be going. Willie said, now you ask the boss man about cutting it Thursday or Friday, Thursday, and I got some help here now. I said, he's not the boss man. I said, y'all. He said it ought to be cut. I said, yeah. Well, all right. I said, you pass the word on to Frankie. And I'll tell him that you set Thursday, at the latest Friday morning. But Thursday, it's going to be a good time to cut it. And Tommy's off on Saturday and free this Saturday, next Saturday. And then Kathy said, and we'll come over and ride Hubert H. Humphrey. By that time, you know, they talked to her. They found out about the horse. Willie told them they had a horse named Hubert. And I said, yes, and Sybil and I can make some iced tea for you. I couldn't tell whether that pleased Willie or not. You know, I couldn't tell whether this... But he turned around and he said, well, you'd better have a lot of it. Because when I'm loading hay, I want plenty of iced tea, and also I want something to eat. I said, now listen here, you're not going around here bossing. And he said, and I said, now we got to have Pepsis for Frankie, because he's not going to drink Gatorade. And Willie said, I tell you, instead of having tea, tell guy to get me some hopping Gator. That's that new Gator that's 4% alcohol. I said, no, sir, I'm just going to fill you up with iced tea. He said, well, now, you need to get Pepsi for Frankie if you got iced tea, because he can drink more iced tea than anybody you ever heard of. I said, now, what is this? Is this going to be a hay-loading thing, or is it going to be a social? Well, he said, looks like Tim's going to be a social. I said, well, all right. And I said, if the ox is in the ditch, we just might have to work on Sunday. He said, you must leave me out. He said, there never was a time when the ox went in the ditch if somebody didn't push it in on Friday and Saturday. I said, I'll tell you what. I apologize for bringing these pears over here. It's just that I didn't want to cook them. I'm fed up on them. And if you don't want them, you give them to the horses or to the cows. But I got to go. And I jumped up. And Willie said, all right, next weekend. And Tommy said, I'll be ready. And Steffi said, I'll come. That's the way I left. Kathy said they might come by tomorrow. That's all right. If Kathy and Tommy could do a lot. Mm-hmm. But Tommy's charming. And he just... He, of course, he just has Saturdays. But that was the cutest thing I ever heard. Tommy getting Willie told about behavior. Just stubborn. Sitting there talking about behavior. He said, beggars can't be choosers. You haven't got anything in it. All you got to do is go over and pick it up. That's what he said. I couldn't have hit it luckier.
So they'd talked about it before.
Old Tommy had been giving him the devil about the hair, hey. But you see, now Willie doesn't have, you can't say to Willie, now look, you were interested in this, you were bitching about not having any hay, you hadn't got a cent of money in it. Guy's got the equipment and $75 in it, plus six and there's more. You know, you can't say anything like that. Can't say a word.
No, okay.
But you got to sit there and listen to him bitch about not liking Bahia hay. So Tommy picked it up.
Let me tell you something. That's a Bahia pasture out there where Frankie was poisoning that long grass this morning. And we walked over there, and I said to him, I could see, you know, it just is sparse, hardly any grass showing, mostly sand. You know, that's what they say, you couldn't see the grass for the sand. I said, Tommy, I said, Frankie, how much fertilizer you put on that? He says, I can't afford fertilizer. Well, I said, how much you think it'd cost? You know, we just went on like that. Faye? There wasn't a sign of fertilizer on that. And he got that Bahia pasture, and he's trying to keep the centipede out of it. And the centipede will grow as high as his Bahia without fertilizer. Why, that's the most remarkable thing you ever saw. Now, the boss man certainly fertilizes. He couldn't raise, you see, he's one of the big cattle men. And he's also, you know, raised high-class animals. He couldn't do that without good grass. But now that's one thing that Frankie doesn't... Now he was mixing that poison this morning in the same system the boss man uses. He had his 3-gallon spray outfit. And he measured it out in a little container. And I said, that seemed like a lot, Frankie. Well, he says, that's 8 ounces. He says, that's what the boss man uses. he said he told me to use 4 ounces for that brush, but when I was working on this centipede, double it. And he says I run the thing over, putting that old diesel fuel in the little 3-gallon thing. He said he run it over last time and he didn't have any room for air. But he says when he worked for the boss man, he never done that. The boss man had it already poured out in those 5-gallon cans with 2.5 gallons in the can. But he don't follow the boss man in the fertilizer.
The same thing. They can't put money in front, no more than Cookie can. But now they can, then they can criticize the grass that you've put fertilizer on. And they don't want any horse or cow droppings in it. And you can put $100 worth of fertilizer on that pasture, or $200 worth of fertilizer on that pasture, you know. But they, part of it is a game.
Part of the game, yeah.
But that was a cute thing at the time. That was a cute thing. You know, he's not anybody you want to take.
Now this is the end of Channel 1 Right, the end of Channel 1 Right, and Faye's report on Saturday, she got back after, she went out to supper and got back after dark, when she took those pears over to Willie. This is her report. This is her report, and this is towards the end of Channel 1 Right. Towards the end of Channel 1 Right, I'd say it's around 850, maybe 900, 850 or 900. This is towards the end of Channel 1 Right, and Faye's on her visit with Willie and the whole family on Saturday night, the 25th of July, 1970, when she took those pears over there and Willie couldn't come get them. Sybil wanted them, but Willie couldn't budge.